The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning.
I would urge him to open up the government for a short period of time, like 3 weeks, before he pulls the plug, see if we can get a deal. If we can, at the end of 3 weeks, all bets are off. See if he can do it by himself through the emergency powers.
But nobody asked a question. Now he said already that Trump had said no to that. The next thing he wanted to do was the Emergency Powers Act, and our next question was, well, then why don't you do it then? If you don't believe, he came out of the meeting on Friday saying there is no hope. Mm-hmm. The president believes, and I believe, the Democrats will not budge at all on this. And so then he came out Sunday and said, Lindsey Graham saying that should give them 3 weeks. Well, we don't even know if the president, even if he went to the Democrats and said, okay, let's open the government for 3 more weeks, a cooling down period, and we'll talk about it again. Would the Democrats agree to that?
Yeah, that's a great point. I don't know if they're going to agree to anything short term here. Do they want to get back? Do they want to give the president more debate power, if you will? There hasn't really been a debate, but do they want to give the president more time on the stage over the next 3 weeks to make his point? A, nothing is going to change. The Democrats aren't giving up anything in 3 weeks. So either keep the government shut down or you move on to an executive action and declare an emergency and open the government.
The GoFundMe campaign to subsidize what it called the Trump wall will refund all money to donors, said the director, Bobby Withhorn, of the North American Communications for GoFundMe. Donors will receive their money on April 11th unless they choose to donate their contribution to the campaign creator's new venture. GoFundMe said in an email to the campaign participants, Brian Colfidge, the triple amputee Air Force veteran, raised more than $20 million on the crowdfunding platform to build a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. At the onset of the campaign, he said he would only collect funds if the campaign hit its $1 billion goal, about one-fifth of what the President Trump has demanded from Congress to build it. However, that it did not happen. That means all donors will receive a refund. Mm. The refund announcement came a day after BuzzFeed reported that Colfidge pocketed money in a previous GoFundMe campaign intended to help wounded soldiers. Colfidge raised $16,000 for a veteran mentorship program, but BuzzFeed News reports that after collecting the funds, he didn't use the money as promised. None of the partners he claimed to have worked with, including Walter Reed, Brooke Army Medical Center, or the Landstuhl Regional Medical Center in Germany, have any records of that Colfidge worked with their patients or donated money, according to the representatives at the center at BuzzFeed that they spoke to. In an update to donors on Friday, Colfidge did not say missing the goal was the main reason for the refund. Instead, he pointed to government inefficiencies and said the fact that the government won't be able to accept our donations anytime soon is the reason. Colfidge gave donors the option of giving their GoFundMe contribution to himself and a team he assembled to privately construct the border wall. The group called We Will Build the Wall, Inc., according to an email from GoFundMe to contributors. So there you go.
Yeah. It was not going to happen. There wasn't going to be $1 billion raised. If you looked at the, over $2 billion total raised by both candidates.
Yeah, we said it. And as they stated, it was the point we stated from day one, which we were criticized for mm-hmm. by many of our listeners. Mm-hmm. You guys don't want to try anything. No, we don't want to try things that don't work.
There's no point in when you know you're still going to need Congress in order to get it done, even if you raise $25 billion.
We're not going to play the magic wand game. But as of, again, today, we did the caller last hour. Was, you know, the, you know, we waste this and this kind of money. They've done all that. They've explained all of that. The Democrats mm-hmm. don't care.
No. No, they don't care. And why would I've already given money to the government. In fact, I do it all the time. Pretty much every payday. It's like a habit.
In fact, the amount that we had to pay is going up.
That's right.
All of you got your nice tax cut mm-hmm. and tax break. We have to pay more. Under the Republicans' plan.
I already give the government money.
We're not bitter.
No, we're not.
No, we still believe it's the right tax plan. We still believe it was the right way to go.
Sure, we do.
We do.
Right.
You have never complained to me privately, even off the air, that you're mad about it.
I haven't.
No, you still believe it's the right mm-hmm. move to go.
Sure it is. Whatever. Keep saying it out loud. That'll make it true.
Now we do not agree that we were the problem. We stated that, but the problem...
I don't disagree that
the problem with our tax code is not that Eric and Gary weren't paying more.
No.
And that's what I mean.
That's never nor ever will be the problem.
That's never been the problem. No, whether I was being charged or not, that's not the problem.
No. You people quit changing the topic. Stay on point.
Sorry, we would have paid more money for the wall because we were taxed more by the Republicans.
Right. We've been paying my fair share.
We've paid our wall fair share.
Yeah.
We said this from day one. We said this isn't going to go anywhere. They're going to end up refunding their money. Because you still had to go through Congress. And we still have, as I said, as of today still, people calling up with ingenious new ideas. And, well, look, if we promote the fact that we actually save money by... It's not a money problem with the Democrats. It's got nothing to do with money.
What, not about funding.
The Democrats all of a sudden became fiscal conservatives and now they're concerned mm-hmm. that money is spent efficiently and prudently? Come
right.
on!
Right, yeah, that's it. Nancy, we can spend our money in better ways. Shut up.
Well, I'm sure the lobbyists down in Puerto Rico are giving them plenty of ways that they can spend the government's money.
Right, hanging out on the beach.
Yeah, they're hanging out on the beach, and I'm sure you know the lobbyists have paid for the 30 Democrats to go down. Now, Nancy was on the list but didn't go. Probably a smart move. She was on the list of people that was going to go and didn't go.
Yeah.
And the lobbyists brought down the 30 Democrats' families and everybody else for a nice, nice Caribbean vacation. During the shutdown,
woo-hoo!
Nancy probably figured, I probably shouldn't go to this.
You know, I hear she likes to dance at bars.
Yeah. Now, Ocasio-Cortez, too, there's a lot of new news out there. She's getting on CBS's case
mm-hmm.
for not having a person of color on their 2020 election team. CBS News comes out with this great publicity thing. Here are our reporters going to cover the 2020 campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I heard one of the, I was just on social media. I don't know who's defending it. Well, they have different sounding names. That was a defense against Ocasio-Cortez.
Right.
But
different
their
sounding
names. Their names sound different. It's like, wow. And we have said all along that the Democrat Party and the way it's going, especially when you look at people like O'Rourke and Ocasio-Cortez, where it's going is the fact that they constantly have to create new victims and therefore new oppressors. And just by the process of elimination, some of the victims, which are the press, which is being victimized by Donald Trump. By the way, anybody complaining that Ocasio-Cortez is going after the media?
Right.
Now, if she's going after the mainstream media, the liberal media, you don't have the proper diversity that I expect.
And we'll call you out at every chance. You know what's going to be funny? She's going to be campaigning with Bernie, and then she'll take over Bernie's microphone and tell him to get off the stage. As Black Lives Matter did in 2016.
Starting to see a lot on social media that you've got Democrats now that aren't too pleased with her, that believe she's out not for the benefit of the party as a whole, but for herself.
Well, because when you know nothing about legislative items, then the only thing you can do is make a name for yourself in being an activist. And that's clearly the road she's going down. Good luck. But good luck to all the liberals in the media and all of her friends on Capitol Hill, because eventually she'll come after them.
And we knew it was going to happen. You saw the Bird Box challenge while driving? Luckily, no injuries in that accident. I'm sure you saw the pictures over the weekend.
Yeah. It's so stupid.
What do you do if you're the judge? How long do you suspend that license for?
100 years. You're too stupid to have a license. I'm going to see if I can drive blindfolded.
Now, were they drinking?
Probably.
Didn't see any DUI. I got to hit this story. This in Canada. Civil rights lawyers are crying foul this week over new rules that give police in Canada the power not to only test your breath for alcohol without reasonable cause while you're driving, but to do it in homes, bars, restaurants, stores, or anywhere else you may have been within 2 hours of operating a vehicle. Under the Canadian government's newly implemented stricter impaired driving rules, cops could theoretically come to your house and demand that you take a breathalyzer test on the spot.
Well, it doesn't matter. If I'm sitting in my living room and I pull up and I'm completely sober and I go into my home and then I start drinking in my home, what does that prove?
If you refuse to take the test in your home, you could be arrested, charged with a criminal offense, have your license suspended, and still have to pay the mandatory minimum $2,000 fine. It's all part of a new federal bill which saw fines and mandatory minimum prison sentences shoot up across the country last month in an effort to curb impaired driving, which is found to kill about 4 people per day in Canada on average. Other changes to the criminal code under the bill include giving police sweeping new powers. These regulations are an abuse of power and infringe our rights and freedoms, wrote a Toronto activist, Sarah Beach, on Twitter this week in response to the news that a Mississauga man getting breathalyzed at a beer store while returning empties. This is terrifying, absolutely ridiculous, and only the beginning of the issues stemming from this new bill. Toronto-based lawyer Michael Engel said in an interview with Global News this week that the new police powers represent a serious erosion of civil liberties. Someone could be unjustly targeted, he said, by a disgruntled coworker or family member who calls police with a fake complaint of bad driving.
So they show up at your house after you've been driving to give you a breathalyzer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Within 2 hours, apparently.
So you couldn't then have a drink until 2 hours after arriving home.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, if you decide to, you get home, you decide to have a beer, then they show up.
Well,
you've been home.
Well, you're not over the limit at that point, but if you decide to go home and have a mixed drink, 2 mixed drinks and 2 shots.
In your home.
In the first hour, yes.
Not while driving.
Right, right, in your home. And at that point, if you have 2
that's mixed not drinks driving and 2 while shots, impaired. That's being at home while impaired.
Yeah, 2 hours later, you might be over the limit at that point.
Yeah. So you wouldn't be able to drink within 2 hours of driving anywhere. After the fact.
After the fact, yes. Is what they claim in the law.
We'll see if that stands.
Or you could have had just one drink when you were out and have been under the legal limit. Or even if you're, you know, a little larger, two drinks. And then go home and have four more within an hour. You know, two drinks and two shots or two double-doubles. And you would be over the limit. The average person would be over the limit at that
point. But not driving.
But not driving. And
no
not,
danger.
And not impaired when you were on the road previous.
Right. You could be completely sober.
I have a feeling that even in Canada that will...
I don't think that's going to stand.
Yeah.
Because you're basically telling people you cannot drink in your own home within 2 hours of driving.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Cold weather can affect your batteries more than any other component on the vehicle. Pay attention to these maintenance tips that may help assure your batteries are equipped to roll through the rest of winter. A fully charged battery is one of the best defenses against cold weather. Have your batteries tested before your next trip to ensure they're able to handle cold early morning starts and in order to maximize their lifespan. Another tip is to make sure your batteries are clean. Dirty batteries can discharge at a faster rate when the truck is idle. Dirt can also promote corrosion on terminals and connections, a problem that will only worsen in cold weather. Stop in to a TA truck service near you to have your batteries charged and inspected for harmful debris today.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Curley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We go to Bob in Mandan, North Dakota. Bob, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I love your show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I just want to say I'm so angry at the Republicans in Congress. I mean, back in December, the House, the Republicans in the House passed a budget bill right before the close of the session. And I'm so angry that Mitch McConnell did not put that to a vote in the Senate, because budget bills are not subject to the Senate 60-vote rule.
Yes, it was.
Outside of reconciliation, they are. Yes.
Well, I remember back when the...
The president... we can stop the argument. The president was telling Mitch McConnell to go to the nuclear option.
Yes.
So that was
That's why he was doing that during the Christmas break.
Right. Yep. So the whole point was they needed the 60 votes to get this piece of legislation passed.
Right.
The president was calling for the nuclear option.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that was, so.
If you want to be mad at Mitch McConnell for that, you can
be. We're not using it that way because you could have made the argument, well, because the back and forth was, well, the Democrats will come back and use it anytime they want to. Well, they might do it anyway. Or the other part of it was it's okay because this had more to do, less to do really than with the budget than it was about the wall, which is national defense.
By the way, there's a big debate on that because the president, as we've said before, that's why it's not worth continuing the arguing about it, because the president was demanding that Mitch McConnell use the nuclear option.
Right. And McConnell was not going to do that.
No. So, and that bypassed quickly, but the discussion on that was all throughout the news.
Yes. Well, and again, because it was, you know, the fear of retaliation by the Democrats down the road, if they got, you know, control of the Senate one day. And then also the other side of that was saying, well, they're going to do that. They might do that anyway. And this is about national security because of the wall.
Come. They never follow the company code of conduct. In fact, it follows them. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
I don't think so. By the way, apparently this is not a good business model. The first Paris restaurant for new diners to close down. Lack of customers.
Is it required that you get naked?
Apparently, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No thanks.
The French capital's very first restaurant reserved exclusively for naked diners will close its doors in February, just 15 months after opening, due to the lack of the simple bare necessity of customers. Paris's first nudist restaurant, Au Naturel, gave diners a place to leave their clothes and inhibitions at the door. And its opening in November of 2017 was hailed as evidence of the rising popularity. Is that what they call it? Naturism?
Okay.
That's the term, naturism. But after a little more than a year, the restaurant is set to close its doors, all due to a lack of customers.
Yeah, because nobody wants to sit around looking at other naked people while they eat.
No. I've said this. I lived on a Florida beach for 3 years. And I came to the conclusion when they talked about topless bars, I really suggested, because I did a lot of observation and realized that 99% of human bodies, including my own, should never be shown in public.
Mm-hmm.
And I advocated that men put their tops on the beach. That was the conclusion.
Yeah. You said topless bars. You meant topless beaches?
Topless beaches, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, let's all get a jacket, would you?
Yes.
Yeah, Brian points out there are plenty of topless bars.
Yeah, exactly.
See, you kind of keep it in that corner. If you want to go do that, then go do
that. All right. Only the professionals go naked on the beach.
Yeah, right. proving once again, nothing is for free.
All right, so there's this. I just noticed it like this past weekend. I go, what's going on in Twitter?
What?
I get Twitter, and next thing I know, I'm there's these. All, they appear on my Twitter, these porn sites, these porn stars, and they're naked, and there's a video of it. I'm like, how's this happening?
I don't get that on my Twitter.
Well, and I figured out why. I'm like, why is this appearing? And I had to block him. It's a guy that I know who likes all of them. And if he likes it, it appears in my feed.
Oh, because he retweets or whatever. Or if he clicks
retweets
like or button
lover,
or something.
Yeah, and it and it comes on mine.
Yeah, no.
So you can, and let me tell you, it was all nudity.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't.
I thought they had a rule about that.
If they do, they're not enforcing it. Because that was my next question. And I forgot about it. This happened to me like Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Until I just read that story now. It just popped into my head right now. And I thought, that's the first thing I thought. How can this be happening?
Right. I thought I thought all social media banned that kind of stuff.
Now, I don't know if he just started liking them, because it just started showing up Friday and there was like four or five of them and he liked all. I'm like, does he know?
Or did someone hack his account?
That's a great point. I wonder if somebody hacked his account and did that
Could
to
be.
Him. Because I started thinking to myself, that's not this guy's in the broadcasting business.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, that's not a very smart thing to do.
Right.
And then I wondered, does this person know? Do they even know? And then I even think about the fact that they might have been hacked.
They might have been hacked.
Because I didn't see it before from this person, so... Well, probably somebody has told. I don't know the person. It's one of the people that, you know, apparently, I think he liked me a long time ago, so.
Right.
But.
Yeah, I'm guessing there's a decent chance he was hacked.
Okay. but it shocked me. Because it was really graphic.
Yeah.
Like, wow. So, but no, I don't really. I have no interest in going into places where people are running around naked.
No.
And serving food.
No. No.
Maybe it's just me. I just, it's, you know.
No, no, and no.
You know,
get dressed.
I remember when Kramer made the dinner in the shower.
That episode still makes me cringe. I can't actually watch that one. That's really tough for me to watch. It's so gross.
At the end, this is delicious. When did you have time to make it? I made it as I bathed. That was a germaphobe issue, or the dish, or the episode.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No. No. That's one I can go without seeing ever again.
I'm sorry. It's one of my favorites. Especially at the end when he says that.
And they're already eating.
They're all. Thank goodness they cut it off at that point, because
yeah.
I believe there was probably, in real life, there would have been some vomiting.
Yeah. Most definitely.
All right, have we taken this show about as low as it can go?
Yes, yes, yes.
I debate that point.
Let's get back to more people wanting to comment. Is, you know, where does the president go? And we had brought this up earlier because Lindsey Graham, last week, early last week, had come out and said the president must stand firm. Then Friday, he said, when he met with the president, said, there's nothing. We cannot get them to move. I believe, and the president believes, the Democrats will not move on this issue. And then he called out on Twitter for the president to go for the emergency powers. By the time we get to Sunday, he's saying, let's have the president should call for a 3-week cooling off period. And then, you know, which means they would run, you know, fund the government for another 3 weeks. And then if that doesn't work, then the president will call for the national emergency.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're wondering what happened in between Friday and Sunday. What kind of discussions are they having? What do they think the 3 weeks will get them?
Yeah, that's the question.
What are they hoping
why
for?
Would you,
right.
Why would you delay it another 3 weeks? Where are you going to get in 3 weeks?
Because between Friday and Sunday, if he's communicating with the White House, they say, well, let's give it a three weeks. Why? What's the goal? Do you believe that the Democrats will succumb? And what is the reason? Trump comes out. If you don't give me it, I'm going to declassify the FISA warrant application. All of a sudden... Okay, you've got your wall.
How many walls you want? How tall you want it?
Well, I just bring that up because what is possibly going to change with the Democrats?
Well, I did actually think about it over the weekend. I was thinking, all right, is there something behind closed doors that they could get done? But
behind
none
a
of
wall.
That, yeah, none of it. None of it would add up because they still have to come out publicly and vote for it.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Let's go to Dean in Denver. Dean, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Hi, Dean.
Hi, thank you. I do believe that the promise of the wall is what got Donald Trump elected president. I believe it's what got him across the line. So I can't help but wonder, why was it not the very first thing he tackled? You know, he's done some wonderful things, but why wasn't the wall first?
That's a good question.
I will.
Don't know.
My own question.
He didn't believe he had the votes for it.
Well, my theory is he never really believed that a wall will ever go up. And I personally don't believe a wall will ever go up the way we envision a wall going up.
At this rate, it won't. At this rate, it's not going to happen.
Well, remember, he was actively campaigning in that first year. Mm-hmm. And one of the things is, and we said this before, we believe that he focused on the wrong thing, because remember, the first year was him trying to remember him saying Mexico's going to pay for the wall. Remember the back and forth with the Mexican president at that time. And, you know, the furious phone calls that they had you know, with each other, and the harsh rhetoric coming from Mexico, and he was stating, you are going to pay for the wall. And then when it calmed down, he said, well, they're going to pay for the wall with tariffs on products. And then he was reminded that it's the American consumer that pays the tariff, and then he backed off on that one. I think they wasted way too much time worrying about how to get Mexico to pay for it, but it's something that the president is still talking about, even with the concept of somehow, because of a free trade agreement, they will be paying for the wall indirectly, even though indirectly nobody can figure out how that is the case.
Well, it was an unnecessary promise. That part of it, people would never care about. If it's effective, it falls within the role of the federal government. National defense. End of story.
We had the caller last hour who said, well, wait a minute, it's costing between 80 and 130. By the way, the numbers are, I've seen between the low end, $50 billion it costs per year, all the way up to $300 billion. Most are settling on between $120 and $150 billion is what it cost us. It was the net cost for the United States in taxpayer dollars. So you could have used that alone, as the caller said earlier. Mm-hmm. That alone can be used to convince people to do it. You didn't have to say Mexico was building the wall. All you had to say is, this will save the taxpayers. If the wall costs $25 billion and it cost us $120 billion a year, look at what we're saving each and every year. It's right. Saving the taxpayer money by doing this. This is not an inefficient or unproductive cost. It is, and then the Democrats would have come and said, well, you're not going to stop all illegal immigration. By the way, it got big with the Democrats over the weekend. Why are we building the wall? The majority of Americans, the majority of illegal immigrants are in here because they overstay their visas. That was the talking points over the weekend, and everyone was shot down with no response. We'll do both.
Mm-hmm.
We'll stop them from coming across the border, and we will stop them. Then you are suggesting then, if that's it, that anyone who overstays a visa then must be sent back and never allowed back in this country again, will never get citizenship, will never get legal status if they overstay a visa by a certain amount.
Right.
Let's say you overstay by 2 months or something. You give people a little bit of the benefit because you never know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
In emergency, or maybe you give them a month or whatever. But if you don't have a reasonable explanation, boom. And are Democrats willing to do that? No. So they're not willing to solve that problem either. If Democrats are for sanctuary cities, then they can't cry or complain that illegal immigrants are staying over because, or the majority are coming over because of overstaying their visas, because they won't send them back.
Right. And it's not going anywhere as long as Trump is president. It's not going to go anywhere if Trump resigned tomorrow and Pence became president. Not going to happen. They're not going to hand the Republicans this. They're not going to talk about border security because nobody forces them to do it. They're not going to talk about it at all. They're going to move on.
I believe they'll just ignore it.
Yes. That's exactly
because
what they'll do.
That's what they're trying to do right now. The New York Times pointed it out. Don't believe us. The New York Times pointed out the other day, they don't want to talk about border security because they know they'll lose on the issue with their own constituents who vote for them.
Right. They ignore those constituents because they want to build more constituents eventually out of the people who would come here and have permanent legal and status and ultimately citizenship. That's their goal.
By the way, if you believe, as they're talking about New York, of having illegal immigrants vote in local elections, then you're for open borders, too.
Yep.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Welcome to the show. By the way, just very quickly, I got to bring this up here before we get out of here for this hour, because I thought of you the other day. Now, do you collect guitars?
Collect guitars? Yes. No, I'm not a collector, but I have.
I read this. Yeah. I read this on Google News yesterday, mm-hmm. and I just went, "Wow!" Remember Ed King, the guitarist from Lynyrd Skynyrd, who died?
Right.
He was with Strawberry Alarm Clock, Incense mm-hmm. and Peppermints, mm-hmm. and joined Lynyrd Skynyrd, and was considered one of the most important elements coming in. You know, really, he came in, what was about 76. He came in 75, 76, a few years after Free Bird,
mm-hmm.
But he was a key to their three guitar sound. They, you know, auctioned off all of his stuff. Do you know the guitar he loved the most was called what?
Don't know.
Red Eye.
All right.
Red Eye guitar.
What model of guitar was it? You remember?
No. I'll find the article
look
for
that
you.
Up. Yeah. Interesting.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. In the news this morning,
I would urge him to open up the government for a short period of time, like 3 weeks, before he pulls the plug, see if we can get a deal. If we can, at the end of 3 weeks, all bets are off. See if he can do it by himself through the emergency powers.
All right, that's Lindsey Graham, who has been all over the place this past week. Last week, he was saying Trump cannot back down. On Friday, when he met with the president, he came out and said that he believes and the president believes that the Democrats will not deal at all. He put out a number of tweets saying, build the wall now, call for a national emergency, build the wall now. And by Sunday, he was saying, basically, let's have a 3-week cooling off period where the president would come out and ask the Democrats, right, can we sign a 3-week budget deal and have a cooling down period and come back again? You and I have asked the question, okay, if that's what they're thinking, then what are they thinking the Democrats will do? I mean, what's their plan? What do they think 3 weeks will bring them? Because the first thought I had when Lindsey Graham, because we had done the show already on Thursday night, Friday morning, by the time Lindsey Graham was out there stating that, you know, let's build the wall now, call for the emergency. And so I'm thinking that by Friday night, Saturday morning, the president's mm-hmm. going to come out and say, okay, this is useless. We're not getting anywhere. Because that's what Graham was saying. The president didn't debate him on it and say, Lindsey Graham is wrong. We are negotiating and accomplishing things. Everybody knows there is no negotiating going on. There's nothing to negotiate. And so I thought by Saturday, Sunday morning, boom, you're going to see that. And then by Sunday morning, what do I get? Something completely different, which is, let's give it another 3 weeks. Well, do you think the Democrats are going to agree to that? And what do you think you're going to get out of another 3 weeks? Is there something going on behind the scenes that we don't know?
Who's going to make the case that the Democrats are going to offer or going to get something from the president to the extent where publicly they vote and ultimately fund $5.7 billion for the wall? I don't know what in the world that would be. That would be in part of a spending bill. I can't for the life of me imagine how much you would have to give up for that to happen. Because the fact of the matter is, they can't be seen helping him at all in any way. And it's not going to happen.
By the way, did you see that NBC did the story, but the Border Patrol actually did the test that the steel slat fence can be sawed through?
Mm.
See that story? So what are they, mainstream media now calling for a concrete wall?
Well, you would have to, then we've talked about this. In order to build a wall that's going to be effective, it's going to have to come from, the design of it is going to have to pass through the Border Patrol. They're going to have to tell you exactly what, because they have the experience, the boots on the ground. They're going to have to tell you exactly what the those trying to come here, especially the cartels, have been doing when they met resistance. So they're going to use, in testing it, the Border Patrol is going to use very realistic approaches.
Testing by the DHS in late 2017 showed that all eight prototypes, including the steel slats, were vulnerable to breaching, according to an internal February 2018 U.S. Customs and Border Protection report. Photos of the breaches were not included in a redacted version of the report, which was first obtained in a Freedom of Information Act request by a San Diego broadcaster. The photo of testing results obtained by NBC News was taken at the testing location along the California-Mexico border. See, there it is. There's actually the picture of the slats. The opening through the slats. So,
yeah, you know, let's get the funding first, and then we can talk. We can, they can, the DHS can put forth the reports as to what material would be used.
Wow,
those are things, by the way, that are within departmental control. Once you get the funding,
yes. Once you get the funding, okay, let's find out the weaknesses.
So the whole idea of, you know, calling it a barrier, a fence, slats, whatever, is ridiculous because the Department of Homeland Security has that discretion.
But if if Democrats believe that you can saw through the fence relatively easy, then they'll be for it.
Right.
Because as the only thing that we can figure out is Democrats are opposed to a barrier that is tougher to bypass. If it's easy to bypass, then that's moral. If it's hard to get through, it is immoral.
Yes. Because, and if it's easy to bypass, I don't want anybody spending a dime on it.
Well, that's, so, that's because you're for the immoral barrier.
I'm for everything immoral. Well, because we keep hearing these ideas,
right? I wish everybody could sit here. It wasn't you even saying it. It was the look on your face when you said it. Mm-hmm. And I'm the only one, maybe Brian, that got to enjoy that.
But the debate, or I guess the reasoning, changes every day. Well, if the president would just give them, the Democrats, all this... What's the point of the wall? I'm sorry. But you have to, in order to have this discussion, you have to keep your eye on the game. Political game is that the president's trying to fulfill a promise to his base right now. That's what he's trying to do. And if he can't do that, if he's going to do that based on the wall, but give citizenship, as one caller suggested, to millions of illegals, he's lost his base again. The political game just changed for the president.
Yes, because if you hypothetically did that and gave citizenship, you had just given the ultimate incentive then to overstay visas.
Yes.
Because what was it? I can't think of her name. What was the woman who ran in Georgia, Stacey Abrams? I saw a video of her over the weekend talking about the fact that on local elections, she believes that, you know, that on local elections, because, you know, you're a resident of that area, if you're illegal, you should be able to vote. Now, she was trying to say that federal government, you didn't. Well, doesn't the federal government affect you too? But that's where they start. Local governments, maybe not federal, but local governments, yes, illegals should be able to vote. Well, then you believe in open borders. And so to the one caller that said, you know, give them, he hasn't, if you gave him everything, Well, yeah, if you give them everything to make the wall moot where it doesn't matter anymore, because you can simply stay over in visas, or you can simply visit here, or you can simply, you know, visit here and not leave. You can fly in and overstay your visa. You can come across, because once you get here, you can stay. Well, yeah, you can make the point that the wall at that point would not be a valid expense.
Right.
If we're not going to enforce any immigration laws, if you cross the border and you're illegal, but you cross the border, you get to stay, you get to vote, you get benefits, you will become a citizen if you gave legalization in order to get the wall built to the millions of illegals in the country right now. Citizenship is what the caller said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then you get the wall. What good is the wall?
There's no point to it.
So that's not going to happen.
No, it's not. And for Lindsey Graham, 3 weeks to do what? Exactly.
Give them time to come up with something else? Is that Lindsey Graham saying, in the Senate, we're desperate. We need time to rethink this. You and I stated this, and I know a lot of people don't want to hear it. But when the White House decided before this whole thing to come out and have Sarah Huckabee Sanders state that they don't need the money from Congress, they can get it elsewhere, they showed their hands to the Democrats. Mm-hmm. They showed their hand. We will compromise everything. Because if they could have done that, as Eric said, they could have done that. They would have done it 2 years ago when they first took over. All we got to do is get the unappropriated money elsewhere and use it. Well, why weren't you thinking that of day one when you knew that you didn't have the votes in Congress, even at that point, to get a wall? Why weren't you doing that in February of 2017, in March of 2017, and working on that deal? And 6 months in, you had $5 billion of the wall covered. Well, that's for the first year. We'll try to get $5 billion next year. These are funds will be. Why didn't you, if you could have done that, why didn't you do it? Because you couldn't do that. And the Democrats saw at that point that you are willing to crumble. Look, Drudge saw it. Ann Coulter saw it. Many other conservatives saw it and called you on it. And so then you had to say, okay, we're not going to do it. Well, if you could have done it and were successful at it, fine. The same thing here with the national emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's people go ahead, go do it. The Democrats are saying, be held up in the courts for years, you'll never get there.
And Lindsey Graham, by the way, is building an off ramp for Lindsey Graham, because what he's saying is,
I was thinking the same thing.
The president, go ahead and fight for 3 more weeks, even though it's not going to be a fight because the Democrats aren't going to move. And then, Mr. President, in 3 weeks you can move on to something else and you can do your thing. In other words, it gets it out of completely off of Capitol Hill at this point, if the president were to follow that verbatim, which means it gets it out of the lap of Lindsey Graham.
Well, and when Lindsey Graham came out again last week and said, you know, nope, president cannot crumble on this. And then we got to Friday where he said, talk to the president. We both agree. The Democrats do not want a deal and don't ever want a deal. And then he put out the succession of tweets which said, build the wall now, mm-hmm. national emergency, build the wall. That's why I thought at that point we were going to see it by Saturday morning.
Right.
And so nothing. Then Lindsey Graham, by the time we come out Sunday, is saying 3 more weeks. How many times can you go back to your base and saying, here's what we're going to do, and then keep backing off of it?
Well, I mean, you know, for Lindsey Graham, you got to fight or it will be the end of this presidency.
Right.
Well, now it's reopen the government and then go do something on your own, because we want to be done on Capitol Hill with this. That's what it reeks of. He knows there's no deal to be had with the Democrats. That's not going to happen.
So are they at the point, it's a stall? Just give us 3 weeks mm-hmm. to figure out something else to do, because we have no idea where we're going to go, and we really don't wish to go down the path of the national emergency, because at that point, it'll be caught up in the courts, and Trump's base will use it against him in the 2020 election. Is that what they're afraid of?
Well, because when you break down that move, you have your base saying, well, you know full well it's going to be caught up in the courts, and you did that just to get it off the plate. You're going to have the people who will just argue it on the issues saying, you're not going to get past eminent domain, which they won't. You can't do that without Congress. So there will be people who, remember the Herman Cain's 999 plan? And everybody was just promoting the daylights out of it. Yeah. Oh, this is great. This is great. Yep. But the problem with it is,
when we got harassed for that.
And it was shredded fairly quickly. And when, after that was done, everybody was like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's the problem with it. Well, the same is happening already with the president's move on declaring a national emergency. And even if he could find the funding through any kind of executive move, he cannot, based on the Supreme Court precedent, he cannot use eminent domain without Congress. And once that is done, that's the political part of it. It may end up in the courts and stay there for a long time. But the debate about it, the court of public opinion will already make its verdict.
I guess my point is, to the Democrats, again, when the president pulled back completely, he showed he was willing to compromise on everything. When Sarah Huckabee Sanders before Christmas said, okay, we don't need Congress, we can get the money from somewhere else. Well, then you mm-hmm. would have done it already. Mm-hmm. Then they backed off, and the Democrats looking at that said, you bluffed. You weren't going to do it. You were just going to back off completely. Right. And now this, do the Democrats believe that the president's bluffing here too, that he actually won't do it because he knows it'll be a negative, that he's...
Oh, they know. Yeah, they know. They know he can't do anything.
866-90-RED-EYE.
USDA is looking into the issue of how to define a product that supporters call meat, even though it's been cultured in a laboratory.
I think that there's a lot to still be learned about these products because they are not yet in the marketplace, and USDA and FDA have been spending a considerable amount of time really evaluating what this product is and in what ways consumers might consume it.
USDA's Acting Deputy Undersecretary for Food Safety, Carmen Rottenberg, says meetings have been held with scientists and the public.
FDA held a science board meeting earlier this year in October, and then we held a joint public meeting with FDA on risks, hazards, and labeling, that all are considerations that the U.S. government has to make.
The public comment period closes December 26th.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. After the blockbuster story in the New York Times over the weekend, not really a blockbuster.
No. No surprise.
When you actually go through it, you're like, well, there's, again, nothing really here. So the FBI started a counterintelligence investigation on the president after he fired James Comey because they believed he might have committed treason with the Russians, though nobody can specify why they believe that.
And nothing was ever found.
And as we stated, well, then they should have had a counterintelligence investigation on Hillary Clinton for the server, on Barack Obama for dealing Bergdahl for the five al-Qaeda leaders, and the Iran deal.
Yep. 866-90-RED-EYE. Here's your forecast.
The work week begins after a fairly potent weather maker throughout the weekend affected the Midwest, portions of the Mid-Atlantic, and South. Those snowmakers that originate with warm, moist air out of the Gulf can be much more potent than the drier Canadian air that brings snow out of the north. We saw that clash of air masses right around just north of I-40 over the weekend. And today, just a few lingering light snow flurries from the system in the Mid-Atlantic and portions of the Carolinas. The rest of the nation fairly quiet today, with the exception of the West Coast, from Los Angeles to San Diego. We'll see the chance for more continued rain, something we could have used when the wildfires were raging. New York City tops out at 35 today for D.C., near 40, Chicago 35, Dallas 52, for Phoenix 68 degrees. And to the Pacific Northwest, under sunny skies, Seattle will top out at near 50. There's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Agent Provocateurs, Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric. I'm Gary. Well, in California, straws, paper bag, or excuse me, plastic bags, straws, warning labels on almost everything these days. What's next? How about getting rid of paper receipts? Yep. State Assemblyman Phil Ting of San Francisco proposing legislation that would require a business to offer e-receipts as a default option or pay a fine of $25 a day.
Which they'll pass on to the consumer.
Which, of course, they'll pass on to the consumer, yes, if they do that. But must have the option of an e-receipt. Now, a lot of places are doing that anyway. I mean, I know I go into, Home Depot?
Mm-hmm.
And so they will ask if, you know, you wish to have an e-receipt, but they also give you the paper receipt. You always get the paper receipt.
Yeah, you can choose.
You can choose, but when I say send me an email, mm-hmm. it also gives me the paper receipt, too, every time. Mm-hmm. I've not had it. Maybe they are evolving into giving you just the choice of an e-receipt. Now, at my bank, I have the choice when I go to the ATM to send me the e-receipt, which I do every time. Because it's great. You put in the e-receipt. I look down you put in the e-receipt, take your cash. I look down. My phone's blinking. I've already got the email.
Mm-hmm.
And so you feel safe. And there is something about... When you do a transaction, there is something about being able to see the receipt immediately. Having that receipt in your hand, knowing that when you get the cash, you buy the that it is, you know, that you can see it immediately. Therefore, you knowing you can check it.
If you're talking about a default, you know, offering, in other words, it would be just like it is right now at Home Depot. They're not saying you couldn't use paper receipts.
Yes, you could. Well,
it would be the default. The first offer would be to email the receipt.
Right, and I get the default from my bank, too. But when you do it, if the email doesn't, you know, as long as the email gets there immediately and you can check it as you're walking out the store, that's great. Because a lot of times you're not checking. You're not running the math,
right,
really, as you're looking at the screen. You wait till you look at your receipt and you scan the receipt really quick.
Mm-hmm.
I know I do that just to make sure there isn't something double. When it goes to your phone, you're more likely to be out of the store before you check it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's something that people think of. I know I think of it just because in case there's a mistake, you want to bring it to their attention before you walk out of the store and come back.
And also with returns, you're going to have to, re-email the receipt back. If you have a return.
Yes. Yes.
Or print it off on a much larger piece of paper than the original receipt would have been.
Now, the best part, the Wall Street Journal did an editorial on it. And they, you know, and they, and so they do the, according to the state assemblyman, Phil Ting of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
As it happens, the biggest beneficiary would likely be Square Incorporated, whose headquarters is in San Francisco and run by CEO Jack Dorsey of Twitter fame. Mr. Ting's bill notes that data from Square, a company that provides mobile payment services, shows that their sellers send over 10 million digital receipts each month. Funny how political favoritism appears behind most green regulation.
Yeah.
Just love that
one. Yeah, they don't really care about the paper or saving the planet.
All right, very quickly, because this is the conversation that we've had just off the air, and it gets to be pretty interesting, because the former mayor of San Antonio, Julian Castro, announced that he is running for president.
I think he should not be qualified because he has a twin brother. And I don't want the shenanigans of twins. I know how they do things.
I have to tell you, a friend of mine down in San Antonio, mm-hmm. she does this to me all the time on Facebook. She will invite me to when Michelle Obama was speaking in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I got the invitation to that on Facebook. You're invited.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I believe she invited me to one of the Julian Castro, yeah, something that he was doing
right.
a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was a month ago. I don't know. Maybe it was some kind of party. But she'll all of a sudden, I'll see, you've been invited too. And I'm like, eh. And she's as conservative as you can get. But she does it just to tease me. But Castro led San Antonio, what, for 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was nominated, Obama nominated him as Secretary of Housing and Urban Development mm-hmm. in 2016. He was thought about, he was vetted, you know, as a possibility for Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And you and I had this discussion at the bottom of the hour. She chose Senator Tim Kaine. I looked at you and said, can you believe she actually chose him? He was the worst choice. Now, she was the worst choice, actually, for president. People always said Trump is the worst candidate ever for president. No, she lost to him, so she is. But seriously, Tim Kaine, that smile. Remember, he was mm-hmm. compared to the Grinch? The mm-hmm. Grinch's smile when he would
mm-hmm.
smile?
Mm-hmm.
And it yeah. was just, he just wasn't the kind, you're thinking to yourself, you want somebody who is... has some kind of personality to them. And he just didn't seem to have any kind of personality. But you and I were talking about, you know, where the Democrats are going to go, whether it's going to be Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Julian Castro. We've got a succession of others now coming down the pike over the next 6 months. And all we keep hearing is about Joe Biden.
Yeah, I think that if you look at where we will be, well, a year from now, right, heading into Iowa 2020, what I think ultimately will steer it in Biden's direction, if he announces that he's and he ultimately does run, will be his polls that he keeps using over and over again. Basically, I'm the only one that can beat Trump. Then he'll pick someone like a Beto O'Rourke or somebody else, you know, and put them on the ticket with him. By the way, I think before Julian Castro, right now the star power is with another guy from Texas.
Yes.
It's with Beto. If I'm talking about on the Democrat side, if someone was going to run. Now, Julian Castro had some of that going here in our state when he was being vetted to run with Hillary.
But not to the level of O'Rourke.
Nothing close.
Right.
And so... this is why, if you're Biden, you're going to play that game if he decides to run. So you're going to see a number of, and the breakdown of it. I was reading one story earlier why there are so many that will be running on the left, because they all believe that they're going to essentially, each of them believe that they're going to bring this, you know, this certain kind of popularity back to the presidency. They broke it down, and it was an interesting point they were talking about in George in 1992, as you went into that season, where a lot, you know, his George H.W. Bush's approval ratings were pretty stellar at that point. They were above 60. So the Democrats were just kind of holding back. Many of them just wanted to wait until 96. And remember, Bill Clinton didn't get in until later in the game. And so there was that, okay, can you beat a popular president thing? Now it's not about that. It's they want to bring, they believe, that rock star thing back to the presidency. And that's exactly where they'll go. But I think that if Biden is to run, he does run, and those numbers keep holding, those general poll numbers, if the election were held today kind of thing, then the party will settle on Biden.
Well, I asked this question because, and it would be interesting to see in how you would do the polling of the focus groups would be fascinating. I'm not a pollster, so I have more questions. But my one question would be, after Obama, a rock star, mm-hmm. and Trump, a rock star, mm-hmm. have Americans had enough of rock stars
right.
for a decade or so?
Well, would they like it? Would they like to hear less news? Because think about how we get our news right now. We get a lot of the stuff that's bombarded on social media. People, especially friends we follow or are connected with on social media, they retweet and share things. And is there that burnout to where we would like the boring guy to be up there for a while we're not bombarded with all this all day, every day?
Which is why I'm wondering whether, Biden will come out and say, look, I'm the leader. The other thing is, too, Biden is somebody who could sell himself as not being as radical. For example, Julian Castro talking about all the things that the young Democrats are talking about. Mm-hmm. He would pass the new Green Deal, universal pre-K, universal higher education, Medicare for all. He talked last week of a top marginal tax rate of over 90%. Well, there's a lot of old line Democrats that may sit there and tolerate the talk, but they honestly believe that they cannot be the party that promotes all of that because it's impossible to get.
Right.
You cannot get that. Fiscally, you can't get that. And it would be, they believe, the destruction, and the Ocasio-Cortez out there, it would be the because she now is being vilified by many inside of the Democrat Party of only caring about herself. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing that really has come out of the last couple of weeks from Democrats inside the party. They believe she doesn't care about the party at all. She's in it just for herself. She's not really in it for politics. She's in it for her fame. That's coming from inside the Democrat Party right now. So she's not running for president, but you have a whole bunch of young people that have the most socialist agenda possible. Is the Democrat Party, and we've said this before, either they have to go far left or they have to start moderating. Is there a large section of the Democrat Party outside of the Kavanaugh crazies? Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to put it, that are saying we cannot continue to be this party. We need to have them represented, and that's why Biden O'Rourke is where we should go.
Well, because they could also be looking at it saying we can still get some of our more leftist agenda things done if we also keep the House and win the Senate. We can get some of those things done, and Biden with his big, false teeth can smile into the camera and just be the moderate of the party. So the face of the party, they go back to what they were before, not talking so much about it, writing it into the bill, writing it into law.
But not talking about it,
not promoting it. They don't look. They know that their constituents right now don't want open borders. But they want open borders because they're trying to pad the voting rolls. And so they don't want to talk about it in front of the American people. Let's do this behind closed doors. Well, they may go back to that approach and say, look, Biden can be the face of the party, and then we'll work behind, on Capitol Hill to get things done on our agenda.
And
he'll sign it.
The big problem with our hypothesis,
mm-hmm.
will the Democrat Party in 2020 ever run to white men?
Elizabeth Warren, as Veep.
Okay.
Because then you build that euphoria.
It would have to be a woman.
I think there's a decent chance, yes.
Are you going to then are you politically wasting what you believe you have in O'Rourke?
No, cuz he's young enough to come back somewhere else.
Okay. Somebody's listening to the show saying, are these guys giving advice to the Democrats? No, we're just trying to figure out what they might.
Well, that's the political play. I mean, right. Each one of those questions are some of the questions they'll be asking between now and this summer.
866-90-RUD-EYE.
This engine report is brought to you by Detroit. The DD15 is designed to provide its peak power and torque between 1,000 and 1,500 RPMs. This fuel economy sweet spot means there isn't much more power available at 1,800 RPM than at 1,400. The only thing being accomplished is burning more fuel without any real benefit. While cruising, try to keep the engine between 1,050 and 1,450 RPMs for maximum efficiency. Also, upshift around 1,650 RPMs or sooner to stay in the sweet spot. Speed is the enemy of fuel economy. On average, every 1 mile per hour increase in road speed above 55 costs 0.1 mpg, which adds up by the mile. Cruising in the high 50 to low 60 mph range can help you get the most out of every gallon of fuel. Ultimately, traffic on surface roads and stoplights will impact travel time far more than a few mph on the highway.
For Shell Rotella, that's the engine report.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Hurley. Everybody have just a great day.
Yeah, we'll see what the president makes in terms of any moves on the wall today. Will we learn anything about any kind of executive move from the White House?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.